This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Lowdown on the Price of Oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The price of crude is lower in European trading. In Friday's session, prices rose on speculation that the execution of Saddam Hussein could trigger an upsurge of violence in Iraq. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Oil prices have dropped below $61 a barrel in London. One key factor, according to traders, is the relatively muted reaction in Iraq to the hanging of Saddam Hussein. Had there been widespread violence, traders say, oil prices would have jumped. But Iraq is not the only or even the most important force at work. Rob Loughlin of Man Financial says the mild winter in North America and Europe is also playing a major part.
This mild weather that we've been experiencing now for some 2 months has meant that at the moment demand is slack. That is affecting things at the moment. Certainly I would suggest that if anything it's the most dominant factor in the market in the last 7 days.
However, dealers say OPEC will be doing its utmost to restrain supply and push prices up. The cartel agreed last month to cut output by an extra 500,000 barrels a day. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, OPEC has increased its membership for the first time in 30 years by admitting Angola. It took effect with the beginning of 2007. An international team of researchers from the U.S. and Japan say they have knocked out the gene which makes the proteins that cause mad cow disease. Hemtech is the biotechnology company that sponsored the research. However, it isn't interested in becoming a beef producer. Ironically, this company genetically engineers cows to make antibiotics for people. It's a new year, and economists are looking deep into their crystal balls. Today, we bring you the jobs forecast. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
2006 was a strong year for job growth. In October, the unemployment rate hit a five-year low of 4.4%. But economist Nigel Galt with Global Insight predicts that rate could creep back up to around 5% in the coming year as the construction and manufacturing sectors continue to shed jobs.
The overall economy is going to remain a bit on the sluggish side as it was in the second half of 2006. That, we think, will put a little bit of slack back into the jobs market.
5% is still a fairly low unemployment rate, says John Challenger with outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas.
Unless the economy catches the flu because of the housing industry or automotive, most sectors should be okay.
Those who have jobs may find their wallets a little plumper. Global Insights' Nigel Galt says the relatively tight labor market is pushing wages up, and with inflation moderating, those dollars go further. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
While we're talking about jobs, we probably don't need to tell you that bad bosses are bad news for companies. A new study from Florida State University says bad bosses bring poor morale, less production, higher turnover. And unfortunately, the survey shows there are quite a few of them around. Some of the figures, 39% of workers say their supervisors fail to keep promises. 37% said their supervisors didn't give credit when credit was due. And 27% said their bosses made negative comments about them to other employers or managers. Boy, it's a good thing I have a great boss. Most financial markets will either be closed or have shortened hours today. It's part of a national day of mourning for former President Gerald Ford. This is Marketplace. We're beginning a new year. What will the new trends be? From North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports on one company's answer to that question.
What will we be doing in 2007? The Trends Research Institute has identified seven developments that should pick up steam this year. Top on the list, medical tourism. We will increasingly travel abroad for surgery. And we'll continue to use the internet to meet up with like minds. Gerald Salenti with the Institute calls it techno-tribalism.
Positive, negative, good or bad, more people are going to unite their voices over the internet and forming these techno tribes in ways that we've never seen before.
One darker trend, systemic recession. Salenti says our collective debt load will start to catch up with us this year and trigger an economic downturn. He says it's likely to surface at the kitchen table before reaching the boardroom. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. In 2006, Wall Street had its best year since 2003. The Dow grew more than 16%. The Nasdaq bulked up 9.5% as well. Despite that expansion, some analysts expect even more growth in 2007. One says the market is very resilient and points to all the mergers last year. Among those, the largest telecommunications takeover ever, the $86 billion purchase of Bell South by AT&T. It was approved by the Federal Communications Commission on the last business day of the year. The presents have been opened and exchanged. The champagne glasses are empty. Now it's time to turn your attention to those well-meaning New Year's resolutions you made. Writer and commentator James Brawley says he gave up the one thing very dear to him, and he's glad he did.
Resolve, I propose, to rid yourself of the single most important thing in your life, or at least what used to be the most important thing in mine, before I traded it in for kids, television. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat the short-term consequences for you. As with stopping any habit cold turkey, you'll experience a whole host of unpleasant symptoms that drug abuse counselors call withdrawal, as you look to where your 27-inch window on the world used to be and see instead an actual human being who you have to talk to and who eventually may talk back. But whatever the emotional costs of conversation, they will be more than offset by the cost savings when it comes time to buy that mass media-less prattling person a present. When my little boy Oliver turned 3, for example, he had never heard of a Yankee or a Met. Baseball to him was a game played by real boys of summer in our neighborhood. And so Oliver had no idea that such things as licensed official merchandise even existed. So when I bought him his first baseball hat, it was blue. He was happy, and I was out $5 instead of $25. Then there were the things that I had no idea existed. Gone were the ongoing collective misfortunes of 4 billion people, previously beamed into my living room each night like a Trojan horse of Sisyphean hopelessness and despair. And with them went my psychiatrist, leaving me an extra $500 a month, or more precisely, the time it takes to make and spend that $500, which in itself was exhilarating and qualified in my book as real news. My tragedy, like my joy, became local, in other words. The only moving images I saw were real. For example, my little boy Oliver and his little brother Owen sitting next to me in the stands of their first minor league baseball game. Ticket price, $13. "Daddy," said Oliver after the center fielder missed yet another grounder, resulting in another error and unearned run, "these players aren't very good. I could do better than that." "Yeah," said little Owen. "Let's go." Which meant, among other things, that my boys were ready to play ball instead of watching it. And given my new station in life, I could afford both the time and the money to show them the real thing.
For more of writer James Brawley's scribblings, go to our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
It's a common New Year's.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.